Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. Hi, I'm Connie Whitman. So I hope my listeners, as you guys listen to the show from week to week, number one, I hope you feel my passion, but I really hope you feel my passion about my desire to help you change really your perspective so that you can clearly see whatever your successful future looks like, whatever that means to you. Now, by incorporating the little changes that we share on the show between my guests and myself, I hope you're able to create those huge impacts with building better client relationships or perhaps scaling your business, ultimately growing your income, right? We're always desiring to do that. But at the end of this, I really hope you find the tools to create the life that you desire. So thank you always for joining us weekly. So my motivational quote today is by, and it's just funny, this is where the quote came from. It's Misha.at, so I guess she's online somewhere. But this is what Misha says. Networking is not collecting contacts. Networking is about planting relations. Now, do you have an idea and maybe not sure what to do with it? Or do you have this creative mind and you have tons of ideas that are constantly coming into your head, but they never see the light of day? Why is that? So is it because you have no idea where to begin to create clarity with your idea and how to actually maybe share it with people that you potentially can help grow? So you may be thinking, I don't have a network of people to help me bring my innovation to the world. It's too hard to meet enough people to help share my message. During the next half hour, my amazing guest, who I absolutely love, we're going to discuss how to build a network quickly, easily, and with an element of serving others, which is where we should always come from. So doesn't that sound very interesting and exciting? So today my guest is my wonderful, beautiful, amazing friend, Charisse Alexander. Charisse is a business networking coach helping other helping online course creators sell more courses using joint venture partnerships, which we will discuss today. That's where we met. And Charisse went from an Ivy League PhD candidate to being homeless in New York City at the height of the 2008 recession. She discovered that human connection is the most valuable asset a person can have, even more than achievement. So please help me welcome my delightful and well-rounded Charisse to the show. Charisse, thanks so much for being on and taking the time.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me, Connie. I know this is going to be super fun.
Yeah, so Charisse and I met. We did a JV challenge, this joint venture challenge together, which was a whirlwind. During COVID, Charisse and I were talking before the show. It was like, go, 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 go. Bullet train is how Charisse shared it. But we learned so much in such a short period of time, which fills my soul. I know you're a lifelong learner as well. So I want first, please share your story of this, you know, Ivy League candidate, right, PhD candidate to homeless. So just share the story so people get the essence of who you are.
Yeah. So I, growing up, wanted to be, I always wanted to be a virologist, a germ scientist. I had met this on a field trip when I was 10 years old. I met this doctor scientist person at a local hospital, and she was telling us about this virus and all the different parts of the virus, and I was like, wow, she's so smart. One day I want to be just like her. It was like, yes, I had a role model. And to this day, I don't even know if she was a doctor or a scientist or both. I don't know, but she had a lab coat and she was in a hospital, so I was like, something like that is what I want to do. And that was actually at the time that the AIDS epidemic was hitting the United States really hard. So it was on the news every night, and I was like, you know what? When I grow up, I'm going to find the cure for AIDS. And I was like, you know what? I won't need to, because by the time I'm grown, they'll have a cure for AIDS. Psh, that'll already be solved by then. So I just want to study some kind of thing that could really help people. So fast forward to kind of my college career. I'm studying microbiology and immunology and all that stuff. And then I go to grad school to do kind of a similar thing. So I'm studying medical microbiology. I'm studying viruses and parasites and infections and all that stuff. And then I realize, like, I get to this point in my academic career where I realize this is not what I want to do. The kind of impact that I wanted to have, I wanted to save the world, right? I wanted to win the Nobel Prize and just save the world and have a big cape flowing behind me. But as I was kind of getting into the nitty gritty of what grad school life is like, what being in charge of a lab would look like for my future, I realized that the way that I was adding knowledge to the community, to the world at large, was kind of like adding a brick into a building, right? So my whole life's work would be one brick to build this amazing cathedral or something. But I wanted an impact that was a little more immediate than that one brick, because who knows how long it's going to take to build that building. It could be hundreds of years after I'm gone before any impact comes from my work. And I was like, man, I really want my life to be a little more impactful now. I want to be able to see it now. So I started, I left graduate school early. I was a PhD candidate at the time. I left graduate school with a master's, and I just kind of went on my journey to figure out how can I add more impact to the world than, in a different way from a Nobel Prize, right? But how can I add an impact that I can actually see? Unfortunately, I left at the perfectly wrong time, which was 2008. I mean, who knew that was going to happen? I didn't know. So once I left, I wasn't able to get a job anywhere, Connie, like not at McDonald's, not at Starbucks, like nowhere. There were no jobs. There were just no jobs. And so then I found myself out. I couldn't pay for my rent, and I ended up sleeping in a truck in the middle of a blizzard because I was living in New York City at the time, and I had no family out there. I'm a California girl. I was out there just for school. And so I was just like, what is going on? So I ended up being in a homeless shelter. And one night I was laying on this like bloody cot in the middle of this warehouse that was converted into a homeless shelter. And it wasn't my blood, by the way. So that kind of gives you an idea of what that place was like.
Yeah.
But you know, thank God that it existed. 'Cause like I said, middle of a blizzard. So better than nothing. But I'm laying there and I'm just like boohoo crying, right? The ugly crying where like snot's coming out and all of that. And I'm just like, where has my life come to? Like, I've fallen so far. And I actually, Connie, this is a weird thing that happened, and I hope this has never happened to you, but I could feel my mind physically slipping away. It felt like it was kind of just leaving my head. And I remember thinking to myself and having a really tough talk and saying, look, you can decide right now. This is one of those moments, those make or break moments. You can decide whether you let your mind just be broken and you will stay in this place for the rest of your life. This place right here is where you will stay. And I was only 26 at the time. So it was like, this is going to be the rest of your life. And there were people in the shelter who you could tell had this was their life. Or you can take this moment and say, this is as low as you will ever get. And you will never get this low again. This is your bottom. This is your rock bottom. And you will only go up from here. And so sitting on that bed, I was just whimpering. And I was like, okay, I don't want to stay here. And so I kind of was like, okay, I'm going to... this isn't going to kill me. It's going to make me stronger. I can do this. And that was actually some advice that my mom had given me when I called her before going into that shelter. I was just like, I'm a loser. My life is over. Like, I've ruined it. I don't know what I did wrong, but you know, I can't do this. And my mom was just like, and I had just gotten hired to be a professor, like in the middle of a hiring freeze. It was crazy, but I had just gotten hired and I called her and I was just like, I can't do this. And she was like, she just said, you know what? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And if you don't take advantage of this opportunity, you're going to regret it for the rest of your life. So I think you should stay. Knowing that I was going to be living in a shelter, but also teaching, she was just like, you're going to regret not taking advantage of this opportunity. And she was 100% right. So in the day, I was teaching my college classes. And in the evening, I was going back to my homeless shelter. And I did that for about 18 months before I got back on my feet and was able to move back to California and continue to teach. But the big, powerful lesson for you guys watching was that when I was there in the shelter, I'm looking around, you know, and there's like cops everywhere and metal detectors to get in, and there's people fighting and all kinds of stuff. And I was just like, you know, I have multiple advanced degrees and I'm sitting next to somebody who didn't finish high school. So who cares about my degrees? Like, what does that mean at the end of the day? Yeah. I'm thankful for them. I'm grateful for the achievements that I have, for the knowledge that I have, and for how I've used it. But it didn't add any value to me as a person. Like, it didn't make me a better person. And I was kind of an academic snob. Like, ew, I'm a PhD candidate. I'm so special. But it was like, yeah, honey, you're in a homeless shelter. You're not that special. You're just like everybody else. And that's kind of true of everybody, right? Like, we're all just people. We're all just people doing our best. And it really made me take stock. Like, I sacrificed so much to get where I got academically. But really, I don't think I sacrificed the right things. I sacrificed time with family and friends to really pour into my career, which had dissolved in front of my eyes. So my big take-home message was, like, connection is so much more important. When I'm laying on my deathbed someday, and hopefully it's after I'm 26, is what I was thinking at the time. When I'm laying on my deathbed someday, not this one, but my deathbed, you know, am I going to be saying to myself, man, I wish I had one more diploma on the wall, just one more degree. That's what I wish I had. No, I'm going to wish that I have, that I'm surrounded by family and friends, you know, around me, that I made an impact, that I made a difference in this world, that I could see, that I could tangibly feel. And then I was just like, wow, okay, so it's really about connection. Achievement is wonderful, but it's really about connection.
Yeah, and it's interesting as you shared that very, you know, personal story. So first of all, agree, connection is super important. But it's funny how what we perceive as what I should be doing and what will make me valuable for you, whether degrees, in your, you know, the several degrees, these advanced degrees during your 20s. And then you have all these degrees and you can't even get a job at Starbucks or McDonald's. So what does that say about, and I'm not discounting anyone that has multiple, I have my MBA, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but it doesn't mean it makes you more valuable than somebody who has these life experiences that maybe be more impactful to whoever we're, you know, interacting with, right? So you have to find that balance, because even with these multiple degrees and you can't get a job at Starbucks or McDonald's, there's a problem, right? The recession was the recession. You didn't choose it. So here's where that change, right, the element of change, and why I love this show so much. You were thrown into a pivotal situation of being homeless, not because you did anything wrong, right? It was just happenstance, the way the world, just like what's going on with COVID. There's no choice in this. How do you navigate through that? And literally in a bloody bed, you know, not your blood, thank God it wasn't your blood, but that's still disgusting on so many other ways. You sat there and thought, you know what? Pick your big girl pants up and figure it out. And your mom's advice was, because your mom could have made it easy on you and said, hey, listen, I'll send you the money. Come on home. I'll make it all better and I'll kiss your wounds for you. That wouldn't have been the right thing for you, because you wouldn't have felt the intensity of, wait a minute, I'm here for bigger, better things. I'm here to make a difference. You have that same thought, by the way, as you were telling your story. The degrees were, you thought, the road to help you make that difference, no bell, brick in the wall in your cathedral or what have you. That's what you thought you had to do. And then when you realize, holy crap, to be stuck in a lab, it'll be soul crushing, which your energy, by the way, as you were telling that story, knowing you now, I thought that would have been soul crushing, because it might have been invigorating with the discovery end of thing and the innovation, but being in a lab with your energy and your personality, it would have sucked the life out of you on the other end. So you're doing what you're meant to do, which is awesome. You're brilliant. And here's the other takeaway from me too, Charisse. And I know I keep telling you I'm fascinated by you as this young person with this extremely old soul, and you're filled with wisdom, that you had that moment of, I can choose to lose my mind and remain homeless, because it was a choice. You had a choice, pivotal crossroad in your life, or I could pull up my freaking big girl pants and move the hell on and do something impactful with my life. And you chose to live in the home, get the job, get back on your feet. You didn't do it the easy way. God bless you for that. I give you a lot of credit. I would have called my mother crying, saying, help me, right? I would have been the big baby. But you are who you are, you know, 10 years later because of that experience. You are truly a gift. And I'm, you know, I love you. And I am thrilled that you're on the show, because the element of change, people have hit hard times for no fault of their own. They lose a job. They lose their home. They and their family are living in shelters or getting food from the churches and what have you. Not that they did anything wrong. Life is life. And how do we navigate that? So your story of literally going from this Ivy League PhD situation to homeless and then coming back out of it over 18 months, that wasn't a quick fix. We have to have resilience as well. And you clearly have that element of resilience. So I want you to give advice here. So anybody that perhaps is going through similar situation, maybe not quite being homeless, but our economic situation with COVID, that we're not coming out of this anytime soon. You know, people are losing their businesses, and I'm sure over time we're going to see loss of homes, et cetera. What is your number one recommendation? And then I do want to talk about creating online things, because I think we have a lot of brilliant people listening to the show that maybe have never thought about bringing their knowledge to the world like you made that choice when you opened your business. So what first, what advice do you have when people hit hard times? What would you recommend?
Yeah, you know, it's a challenging thing because my situation was I was relatively young, totally unattached, single, yes, living in a state with, like, no connections, really, but I had more flexibility. I was more agile. I didn't have a mortgage. I didn't have kids. I didn't have a dog. I didn't have all these other things to take care of. But I think even if you do, and maybe especially if you do, that's really the time to set your priorities, to set your values, and to decide what kind of person you want to be, and then to make a plan for how you can be that person. So it's really the tough times. It's those times of adversity that make us who we are. Mm-hmm. That's when the expression? When the pedal's to the metal, right? That's when the stuff hits the fan, is when there's adversity, when something bad happens. Because we all like to think of ourselves as these really heroic people, at least in our daydreams, right? That we would, like, do the right thing and make the right call and stand up for the little guy and all of that. But it's in the situation right now, the situation we're in right now, that's really scary, where we have to decide what kind of person we want to be. We have to decide what's most important to us. And is it our family? Is it our community? Is it our culture? Is it our country? Is it all of the above? There's no right or wrong answers here, but you just have to have your convictions and you have to stick with it. This is the time to make those hard choices. And I remember seeing a guy on the news a few weeks ago when the COVID crisis kind of started, and he was on the news saying that he has teenage boys, three teenage sons, and they asked him what was for dinner and he didn't have an answer because he'd been out of work for so long. They didn't have any money. They didn't have any food. And so this interview was happening in line for him to pick up food from this company that was donating it. And he was just like, I've never been in this situation where I had to tell my kids I don't know what they're going to eat, and I have to be here to get food, and I've never had to ask for this kind of help before. I think that can feel really shaming. No, I know that can feel really shaming because I was so ashamed to be homeless. I was so humiliated. I was so ashamed. And guys, it was even to the point where, like, if I got a stain on my shirt, I'd be like, oh no, that's the homeless stain. You know, homeless people always have that stain. Like, it would, like, everything I did was like the homeless way, right? I'd be like, I just tripped. That's like the way homeless people trip. Like, everything, I felt this stigma, like a cloud that just followed me everywhere. And there was so much shame and humiliation. And really, I mean, it's just like what Connie said. It was no fault of my own. But even if it had been, it doesn't matter. I was taking steps to change my situation. So instead of focusing on what did you do wrong or how did I get here or whatever, those questions are not helpful. They are not helpful. They're not constructive. They're not helpful. The question is, what do I do now? What do I want to be about? How do I make decisions now that change tomorrow? And how do I show my kids, my family members, my community that is what we do in a crisis? We take steps forward. We make plans and we take action. We don't sit and dwell. Maybe we take a moment to, like, grieve, to say, okay, this is hard. Feel what you're going to feel. Your feelings are totally valid. Feel it, grieve, and then move on. Move forward with those feelings. Don't wait for them to be over. Just move forward with those feelings. And as you move forward, as you get momentum, as you make decisions, as you start to take control of your life again, you're gonna start to feel different. Your feelings will change as your actions change, but it's not always the other way around. And don't let this stuff kind of suck you down. And if you need to get help, for crying out loud, get help. That's what it's there for. If you need to go get some food, go proud and get food, because that's how you're going to feed your family. You're going to make sure that they eat. Absolutely. One way or another, they're going to get food. Absolutely. So instead of being like, oh, I have to get food. No, you're like, I'm getting food because my family needs to eat, and I'm going to get it because that's the kind of person I am. I'm the person who takes care of people. You know, like, whatever that statement is for you, just own it and move forward. And I think that control is always kind of an illusion, but when you start to take control, it feels good, right? When you start to make decisions where you see the impact of it, absolutely, it feels good, and it can drag you out of that slump.
And the worst thing you can do is dwell on what was or what happened. You can't go back and change it. What can you change tomorrow? You know, I love that story by Lorena Lewis. I can't think of her name, but you know, your tomorrow's an open book, right? and your page is unwritten today of for tomorrow. So what do you want to write on it? What do you want your story to be? You really have full control of that by the decisions you make. So, you know, I've met people that they'll say to me, I'll talk to them and, oh, you know, you have it all together. And I'm like, I don't have it all together. Let me tell you that first of all. But like I'll say to them, well, just decide what to do. And they'll often say, oh, I have no choice. And my head wants to explode, Charisse, when people say that. What do you mean you don't have a choice? You have a choice every moment of every day. You can choose to not do something, but that's a choice, right? You can choose to dwell on what was. That's a choice. Or you can choose to say, can't look back, can't control it. What can I control moving forward? And action creates reaction, which creates the future we want and whatever that is. And that's really what my show is about and what my introduction was about when I started. It's really about what do you want your future to look like? Life is life. COVID is COVID. Homeless is homeless. Recession was the recession. Not your fault. What can you control? You can only control you and how you move forward. Agree 100%. Such great advice. So talk to us about how did that experience, right, of all of these things, all of these hardships, you clearly learned from it, keep moving forward. Action creates, right, creates whatever that future is. What did that experience, how did it translate to what you're doing now? You're a school teacher, but you're also a business owner, right? You have that little side hustle, not a little, big side hustle going. How did that translate for you?
Yeah, so it translates in two ways. So I'm not only am I a scientist, I'm also an educator. So after, and we were talking a little bit about this offline before we got on this call, but after I was a college professor teaching microbiology, teaching all these nurses to be, and that was really cool because I got to be the role model that I didn't have when I was in college. Absolutely. And because of what I had, what I was going through at the time and other things in life, I could really relate to my students on a super deep level because I didn't come at them like, I am the high and mighty professor. You are the lowly little student who will learn from me. You know, it was like, no, like I'm a normal person. You're a normal person. Absolutely. Everybody, people are just people, you know? And so I think, I mean, that really helped my students learn and grow, and it was amazing. But anyways, from there, from working in college, I noticed that a lot of these underrepresented students that I taught were not prepared for the stringency of college-level science. So I ended up working at a high school to try to prepare students better so that way when they got to college, they felt like they could be successful and like they could go out and make that impact in the world. And then a friend of mine called me and invited me to teach at this middle school for special needs students, for students who learn differently and have different learning challenges. And one of the big things we teach them is to love learning, which is, I mean, it's something that I love. So being able to teach people to love learning without worrying too much about who won the battle of 1812 or whatever, you know, but just like, how do you learn to love learning? And then you can unlock all the doors is really awesome. But another thing that we teach our little ones is about social skills and the importance of fitting in community. And that's such a heart of mine, because that was my big aha moment laying on that bloody cot, was like, it's all about connection. It's all about developing those social skills to really build meaningful connections. So part of me is just like totally entrenched in this education world, teaching these young kids how to fit in society, how to give and receive deep, true connection that really makes a difference. The other part is like you mentioned, my side hustle is where I do business network coaching, where I help entrepreneurs to connect to potential partners, potential mentors, potential clients, and influencers in a deeper way. So in a way that's not spammy or salesy in a bad way. Connie, I know you're like the sales genius, so I know you're not salesy in a bad way.
No,
salesy,
I'm not icky.
You're not icky. You're like, good. And so I help people make those connections in a way that's not spammy or doesn't make you feel like a weirdo, but where you can just be you. You can just be you. But you can also go out there and make those connections that matter.
And it's fascinating because Charisse and I, we were on this, again, joint venture challenge together. That's how we met. And I think you were the first one I met. You responded to something and I'm like, I love her vibe. We didn't even talk. It was just through this email challenge that we were on. But it's fascinating. I probably have met 30 new people in my network that are joys to get to know, brilliant minds, at the core, and I think this is why we met on Jay Fysett's JV Challenge. He's out of Canada, guys, if you're interested in checking him out. But it's always about how can I serve you before you, I can ask for your help, right? And every call that I got on, it was so cool because, like, Sheree's like, well, how can I help you? I'm like, well, wait, I want to know more about you first. But that's how I roll with sales. It's always, wait, it's not about me, it's about you. So to me, that was Jay's premise of serve others. It's how I've lived my life. I know it's how you've lived your life. So you're meeting those same types of people. And they all have so many amazing businesses that I'm thinking, okay, who do I know that I can send to them? Because it's this sharing of, I know all of these 30 new people with 30 new resources. How can I help my peeps that follow me and know me? And vice versa. Sharice is trying to do that for me. And I'm really proud. Sharice shared with me, she ran a free masterclass about creating content. And I posted it on LinkedIn to support Sharice. She said there was a lot of activity from my peeps. So thank you. Thank you for that. Even if it wasn't the right content for you, that you trusted me enough to check out Sharice. You can't, right? Sharice and I were talking before, and I said, wow, I'm super touched by that. So all of these brilliant minds. So how many people listening, Sharice, have all of these ideas, these creative ideas for a business, side hustles that they're currently doing? How can they scale that to get that out to the masses? And that's your superpower, is to help them ground that idea down to create what is that next step so that you can scale it and create masterclasses or content or whatever it is that they need to do. So for people listening and thinking, oh, I'm kind of intrigued, what is your number one tip for trying to connect with the right people? So what would, knowing nothing, right? I have the side hustle. I'm kind of learning as I go along. I know I have this great idea. The world needs me. I don't know how to do it, what to do. What would you recommend?
That is a great question. So when people start to go into the, well, so one is right now in our current climate is we want to not be going out in big groups as much as possible. So a lot of this stuff is going to be happening online, right? Mm-hmm. So all the old networking stuff of go to networking events and stuff is now online, which is wonderful because now you can network with people from all over the world.
Yep.
Like Connie is on the other side of the country,
yep,
but we can network together now.
Yep.
So doing all of this stuff online. Now the conventional wisdom that is given about online networking is that we're supposed to go out and try to find our ideal customer or ideal client. We're supposed to find a pool of where they all hang out, and then we're supposed to go into that community and kind of spam them, right? We're supposed to tell them all about how great we are and how they should come to us, and they should buy our product, they should buy our program, they should listen to us because we're really great at what we do. And then you just see them all walk away turning their heads because nobody's there for that, right? They're there for community. So the approach that I would recommend is instead of looking in those locations for the perfect customer or client, instead try looking in those locations for the perfect partner. And a partner is someone who has an audience that fits your perfect customer or client base. So instead of going one by one by one trying to pick up a client, you're going to go to the person who has an audience of 10, 100, 1,000, 100,000 of your perfect people. And you're going to try to make a partnership with them. If that person says that they know, like, and trust you, and they recommend you to their audience, now instead of picking up one or two clients, you could pick up hundreds of clients, who knows, and on an ongoing basis from their audience. So that's probably my first tip, is instead of looking for those clients or customers, kind of shift and start to look for good partners. And the conversation you have with a partner is completely different from the conversation you have with a customer or client. With the partner, you're not trying to convince them of your brilliance and why they should buy your stuff, right? Instead, you're coming to them like a peer, because remember, we're all just people. You're coming to them as a peer and you're saying, how can we help each other? And you're going to start by being really generous and supporting their projects. And that's going to get you on their radar right away when you are coming from a place of generosity.
Absolutely.
And this goes without saying, Connie, of course, but I'm just going to say it anyways. When you're coming from generosity, it's got to be authentic, right? Like when I first met Connie and found out about all the cool things that she's doing, I was just like, okay, tell me when this is coming out. Tell me when that's ready. I'm signing up for this. I'm sending people to you. You know, I was genuinely excited about it. But let's say we had talked and it wasn't really a good fit. Okay, then we're just good friends and we just move on, right? So make sure you're authentic. It wasn't at all, you don't want it to come across as, you don't want to have an agenda in your mind of like,
nope,
I'm going to do this for them so that they'll do something for me. Because people can feel that and they can sense that and it's not cool. Nobody likes that.
And exactly what you just said, from a sales perspective, you don't go to the client thinking, what can I sell them so I can make some money, so I can pay my bills, or so I can make my sales numbers. That, to me, is the icky sales, right? It's all about, let me meet this client. How can I serve you? And I mean that, I say selling with love, and I know people think I'm the biggest goofball, but if you're not selling from your heart that you're going to be able to help that customer so when they leave you, they're better off than before they met you, whatever that means, whatever you're selling, whatever your product or services, that you've done well by that client, they're going to be a client for life. They're going to send you referrals of like-minded people because they know exactly what you do. Same premise with the partner. It's just that we're trying to blow our businesses up together. You know, and I say this so frequently, but tides rise. Let's rise with the tide together. So if all of our boats are together and tethered together in some way, some shape or form, we're all rising together. We're not ripping people off. But if my people need Charisse, why wouldn't I share her with them? I gladly and proudly share her. And oh, she's making money off? That's okay. We should be paid for our superpowers, for the gifts that we bring, just like all of you listening should be paid for your efforts and what you bring to the table. There's nothing wrong with earning money. It's as long as you're doing it, you're earning money with gratitude. You're earning money from this place of giving and not, I want a big house. I want to buy a car. That's icky and that's just disgusting. And Charisse, I will tell you, they're not people in my life, number one. And on LinkedIn, you've probably have seen this as well. You know, somebody will send me an invite. Oh, we have a lot of the same connections. And I think, oh, that's lovely. I go, oh, yes, I'd love to connect with you and, you know, see how we could support each other. The next, immediately, as soon as they receive my response, it's this long, well, this is what I do and these are the type of clients I'm looking for. Ignore. You will never get a referral from me, and you will never, ever be in my inner circle, because that is way too... I don't even know you for you to start telling me how to help you. To me, that's a big red X. And it was funny, Charisse, when we first spoke the first time, your energy, your story, I said, you have to come on my show. My listeners need to hear you, hear your story, but hear how you've translated that into the successful business, which is where we met, right? On how can we support each other to make more money, right? To get our word out in the world. But immediately I said, people need to hear from you. They need to hear your struggle, but how you came out the other side. And look at all this amazing stuff you're creating to help more entrepreneurs, right, find their voice, innovation, whatever it is. What's your number one tip, would you say, and we're almost out of time, but what would be your number one tip for raising the bar of getting into those influencers, the high flyers, if you will, right?
Yeah. So a lot of times people want to connect with these big time influencers for the reason that I just said, is that if you can get a know, like, and trust factor, if you can get that referral from them, you're just going to see floods of people coming to you. So people want to connect with, like, you know, Tony Robbins or something, because who wouldn't want to connect with Tony
Absolutely.
Robbins? First of all, he's amazing. I'm a Tony Robbins fan. I think he's amazing. And I would love to be on his stage. But, like, there's so many other people who are not just these mega influencers, but they're micro influencers. Maybe they only have 100 people on their email list, or they don't even have an email list, but they have a really strong social following, like you, Connie, with your very strong presence on LinkedIn or something like that. The point is they have an audience of people who trust them. They have community. They have connection. And if you can serve them and they introduce you to their audience, that's going to be more powerful than getting on some, you know, Tonight Show or something like that. Because these are people who have an actual connection with the people they're talking to. So when it comes to connecting with influencers, whether they're macro influencers or mega influencers, one of the big mistakes that I see networkers make is they come to them by trying to kind of sell them as if they're going to be a client. They come to them and they're like, hey, just so you know, I'm amazing. I have all these awards and I can do this for you and I can do that for you and your clients and whatever. And so you should definitely tell everybody about me. But something that I love that Jay Fassett always says is he's like, and he's the guy we were talking about who founded JVology. He kind of says, if I wanted your thing, I would have bought it already. Since I didn't buy it, I don't want it, and I don't want to hear about it. So instead of trying to sell the influencer, one of the most powerful things you can do is to support the influencer. Get on their email list. Join their courses, their premium courses. Join their Facebook group. Anywhere where you could find them, and then find out what's going on in their life. If they have a book launching, they're going to want to get on everybody's stage. If they have a book launching Absolutely. And you have a podcast that has some kind of relevance to their book launch that could help them get more people to buy their book, for crying out loud, you can reach out to them and Absolutely. Say, I would love to have you on my show. I would love to help you sell more books. And they're going to be like, wait a minute, who is this person? Who's this person selling all these books for me? Who's this person who's helping me fulfill my mission of impacting the world?
Absolutely.
That's how you show up in a way that's totally different from everybody else. You don't come to their doorstep saying, give me, give me, give me. You come to their doorstep saying, hey, I just brought you like 100 new clients for your new course because I believe in you and your message. And they're going to be like, you're coming on my stage.
Absolutely. Right?
The invites are going to come the other direction Absolutely. Because you come from a place of generosity and service. And of course, I'm going to recommend that you only do this for people you truly believe in their message.
Absolutely.
Right? If they're a big influencer, but you don't really love what they do or it doesn't vibe with you, don't pursue them as a potential partner. Just enjoy their content and move on to someone else.
Yeah, and it's funny because I've loved people's content and then I've bought a product or whatever from them or service because I'm always learning online, right? I'm always buying products so I can learn and expand my knowledge. And I think, I like their content. I don't like them. I would never try to pursue a relationship for whatever reason. Doesn't mean they're a bad person. They're just not my vibe. They're not my kind of peep. So you kind of move on. You learn what you learned from them and then you move on. It's very fascinating that you said that because it's true. So I'm going to put it out in the universe. Ellen DeGeneres is one of my fave peeps. I think she's awesome as hell.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I am going to be on her show because I think she and I need to give stuff away to the world. And I am happy to share my intellectual property. This brain has a lot in it. So Helen, and the other one is Oprah. Oprah is going to meet me and love me. So they're the two people that are in my influencer. I'm going to get out and tell you, Cherise, someday they're going to be like, Connie Whitman, we need you. I'm like, I know, I've been waiting.
You're going to be like, yes. Yes, you do.
I know you do. I've known this for a very long time, right? We're out of time, but do you have any other last words of wisdom for anybody who's looking to start a business because they really have good content? What do I do now? Like, what would be your first recommendation for that? If you can leave us with that.
Yeah. So I do have, I have a free gift that you can check out. It is called the Organic Traffic Jumpstart. So it kind of helps you it's a very simple, easy, low-hanging fruit way to get some traffic going on to your course if you have a new course or if you're still just trying to figure it out, just to start growing a list and figuring out who's interested in your stuff.
Yep.
Just leaning on your network. So it's going to be simple strategies you can use. It's a 5-day email course, simple strategies you can use starting today to just bring people in to see who's interested. In a very low pressure way, leaning on your current network without being salesy or scammy or spammy or mm-hmm. feeling like a weirdo in mm-hmm. a very low pressure way. So if you're interested in that, Connie has a special link that's a gift just for her audience members.
Yep.
And that would be a good place to start.
Thank you for that, Cherise. And yes, guys, I will post that link for you. So Cherise, we have another colleague that we've met and she does animations. So I'm also going to hire Mary, by the way, and she's going to be on my show too, because she's wonderful. But, I said, show me Charissa's. And when she showed me, I thought it was fun. It had pizzazz. It was your personality all over it. So I've been following Cherise, of course, because I love her. And I can't tell you the number of tips I've learned from her, strategies, things I knew that, you know, it goes to the back of the brain and you forget. And I think, oh, I need to teach that too. I have to remember to mention that when I'm talking about body language or something, that I learned from Cherise on watching her videos and a lot of her, you have a ton of free content out there, for people. So guys, if you want more Cherise, because I always want more Cherise in my life, go to her website, which I will also post on the show's website, but it's the BUCrew.com. That's her website. I will put the link for the free gift so you guys can get that if you're interested. Nice place to start, guys. If you have a side hustle and you think, I want to ground it and do more with it, start here. If you have a great idea or you're that creative person I mentioned at the beginning of the show and you're like, I don't know how to ground these ideas, start with this. These emails will kind of be able to help you pull at least where to start. Again, action creates reaction. So it's a good place to start. If you have specific question for Cherise and maybe how she can help you, you're at the point where maybe you need Cherise from a coaching perspective, go to her email, which is care, C-A-R-E, at CheriseAlexander.com. No period in between that, right, Cherise? Yeah. And I will post that as well on the web talk radio Enlightenment of Change platform. And guys, also, you know, I still have, I always offer my free communication style assessment, which tells you what your superpowers are as you communicate with other humans, personally and professionally, as well as the report shares some blind spots so that you're aware and hopefully can minimize those blind spots and increase the power or leverage your superpowers. Go to WhitmanAssoce.com/CSA, free report, check it out, and you know, email me with any questions as well. Cherise, thank you so much. I know we went a little over today. Your energy, your information, sharing your personal story was just amazing, enlightening, and I truly think helpful. So thank you so much for being on and just sharing so freely.
You're so welcome, and thank you for having me.
Yeah, a true privilege to know you. You're definitely one of my favorite peeps. I wish you lived closer, man. Like, if you still were in New York City, we could do some damage, let me tell you, out there. That we would be forces to be reckoned with, right? Too funny. Thanks again. You guys, thank you so much for joining me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that no matter what change you're going through, whether it's chosen or thrust upon you, you have more control than you think you do. And I truly hope that these resources my guests and I provide are just ways for you to start to navigate that change for yourself and create the life that you really are destined to have and that you should have. There, to me, that's not a want. It's a should be. So thank you for joining us always weekly. I truly appreciate it. Cherise, thank you again for your lovely presence today. You guys have been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. As always, it's a privilege to have you listen. Please have an inspired week. And of course, stay safe and healthy during this COVID craziness.